Okay, you're back with us at GoldSeek.com Radio. We've got another Gold Nugget segment lined up for you today with top investment manager Louis Nevalier. Louis Nevalier is editor of four leading stock advisory newsletters, and he is one of the few folks we've had on the show to regularly call the equities markets with surprising accuracy. It's a pleasure to welcome back Louis Nevalier to GoldSeek.com Radio.
Honor talking.
Well, you know, investors sold stocks last week on news that billionaire investor George Soros' largest position is an S&P put. The S&P fell 2.1% last week. But you point out that George Soros' fund has a put option. I think maybe folks made a bit too much out of the decline. I mean, given the magnitude of the advance in 2013 so far, care to comment?
Well, Mr. Soros likes to arbitrage. I'm not surprised that he might have increased his put. You know, if he's buying quality securities and there's what we call low quality indexes, that's what arbitrage is all about. I really think that is grossly overblown. It's less than 5% of his portfolio. It's only 4% and change. It was 1% in the previous quarter. It's about tripled. I think the media just grabbed it because it was August is boring and they wanted to get everybody excited. And prior to talking about Soros, they were talking about how this guy Mark Faber was bearish on things, and he writes a gloom doom report, and you know, whether it's right or wrong in the media business, whether it's nightly news or politics or investing, fear sells better than greed. And I just think Soros was the latest excuse to scare people in August when no one's paying attention.
And you also point out that higher bond yields will keep investors interested in the equities as essentially money flows away from bonds and looks for a better return in the equities market.
Absolutely. You know, bond yields have almost doubled since May 1st. I went from 1.66 to 2.8 and rising. They're closing on 3%, and that's a tremendous loss. And fixed income investors are freaked. I mean, they're not used to this kind of volatility. Some big blue chip stocks have a higher yield, tax advantage yield, and they might want to try those out. So, they buy a Clorox, Kimberly-Clark, Johnson & Johnson. They'll probably get a higher yield and better performance.
You also note that corporate earnings in the third quarter are higher than expected, or at least we've had a higher than normal number of firms reporting good earnings guidance. So the market will likely continue climbing for the rest of the year, as folks look for better returns than certificate of deposits and at their local savings account, that market dividends are looking quite attractive these days.
Sure. I think once you start that ball rolling, the money pours in. So money's pouring out of bond funds now. We expect it to pour into stock funds. Initially, when over $60 billion fled bonds in July, most of it went to money market, but we're getting evidence now it's starting to come back in. So really, June, July, there's been significant outflows. I apologize. I think it was $60 billion in June left and $40 billion left in July. But of that $100 billion that's left, at least $20 billion's gone into stocks here recently. So that's a good sign. So there's still a lot of cash on the sidelines. I think as the confidence in the market goes up, I think more money will tiptoe back in the market.
Crude oil recently climbed to a two-month high, due in part to the unrest in Egypt. Higher energy prices sometimes can put pressure on economic growth. And the question, are you factoring this into your equities outlook?
Not so much. I think long-term what's happening is bullish. I like selected pipeline companies, not all, and I like some of the refiners that are exporting a lot of their product. Like, basically, when you refine a barrel of oil, you get a lot of diesel, whether you want it or not, and they don't do all their diesel, so a lot of them are exporting it. Our energy exports are literally running almost $100 billion a month right now, and that's double where they were a year ago. So I like selected refiners and selected pipelines, but there is still an energy glut. These higher prices might help their margins near term. We need more pipelines in North America. There was that horrible accident in Quebec where 50 people died when the train overturned in town when everybody was sleeping. So you know, the pipeline business is going to get should get bigger and bigger. It's just silly to transport oil on trains when you put a pipeline in. So I think this is going to help our trade deficit. It already is. It's already boosting GDP growth. It did in the second quarter. And, you know, they're going to revise second quarter GDP up to almost 2.5%. So it's a blessing for North America. And now Mexico's starting to frack. That's a good sign. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Very good. Well, the Commerce Department announced last week that retail sales are climbing here. So the consumer apparently is a little more comfortable making purchases, and that tends to affect corporate profits as, you know, we see increased sales, bottom lines tend to improve. In your view, how big of a positive factor is this for the markets?
It's very positive, but it's also very confusing. You've had mixed results from Walmart, but you just had stunning reports from Home Depot and Lowe's. But what's interesting is when you dig in the Commerce Department report on retail sales, they say that home improvement sales are down. Yet how did Lowe's and Home Depot have record results? You know, Home Depot's same-store sales were up 10.7% in the second quarter. So I'm not sure what the government is reading, but I don't think they're reading the right stuff, okay? And I think the retail sales are a lot stronger than they give them credit for. I think that's we're going to continue to be driven by consumer spending. I think it's a lot better than we think. They've also been reporting that spending in bars and restaurants has been down. That's always a worm sign if people are out and about drinking, but I just don't think that's the case.
I'd also like your take on the 5-year low in unemployment. The Labor Department revealed that we have dropped to about 7.4% on national unemployment rate. Of course, that's a bit above, still above their 6.5% target. And my guess is then you'd expect the Fed to get its number, a bit more hawkish tone at the Fed.
Yeah, the job market's a lagging indicator. We were all disappointed with the July payroll, but the ADP report was a lot better. I guess the biggest problem in the job market is when people get work, too much of it's temp. And then there's the core of the labor market is between 25 and 54. Those people seem to be struggling. If you're above 55 and older, you got more work than ever. Women 20, 24 seem to be able to find work pretty easily. But that core between 25 and 54 is still struggling. It's just, whether it's right or wrong, if you get a temp job, they think you're fully employed. So I'm not here to bash the health care and the 30-hour week. If you keep people under 30 hours, you don't have to give them health care and stuff. But there's something funny going on. There's a lot of slack in the workforce. But it is slowly but surely mending itself, and optimism is rising. So there's hope. It's just unfortunate it took so long to recover this time.
And I know that you're also watching the changing of the guard at the Fed, the upcoming changing of the guard at the Fed, with Chairman there, Ben Bernanke, expected to, his tenure to end in 2014. And then his two replacements, Fed Governor Janet Yellen, as well as Professor Larry Summers. From previous discussions, you've mentioned that they are both on the dovish side, and we could see continued QE at the Fed.
Yeah, both are more dovish than Ben Bernanke. Obviously, President Obama wants Larry Summers. He leaked his name. The White House leaked his name. He's trying to get all opposition out of the way. Larry Summers is a very controversial fellow. He was president of Harvard at one time, and while he was head of Harvard, he said that women weren't good at math, which isn't the best thing to say when you hit an academic institution. He's known as a partisan hack. He's insulted a lot of people. I think if he becomes Fed chairman, the dollar weakens and the position becomes politicized. I think Janet Yellen would be better. She is a dove. She's from San Francisco Fed, but at least San Francisco Fed's starting to question quantitative easing and the wisdom of it. So, because they're noticing it's not fixing things like they wanted to. So I think Janet Yellen's a better forecaster. She's more open-minded. I think she's more credible. While Larry Summers is a partisan hack. Now, that doesn't mean he won't become Fed chairman. I don't like Jacob Lew, our Treasury Secretary. He's known as a partisan hack. You know, our deficits don't rise anymore under Jacob Lew. It's funny, in July we had a deficit, but the deficit, federal debt, didn't rise. So we'll see. We might have a very weak dollar with Lew and Larry Summers.
Very good. And in that event, then I guess you would certainly like a rebound or be looking for a rebound in the precious metals and commodities equity sector.
Sure. When the market gets hit, the gold's starting to firm up. And when the dollar gets weak, it'll help gold, silver, copper. In fact, copper's already made a turn. So there's hope.
You know, the housing market, a vital component to economic health. We have seen housing starts pull back a bit here, at least not with that momentum we saw earlier in the year. And the Philadelphia Housing Index is also. Are you looking for some more sluggishness in the REIT sector? And since housing is such an important component of our economic, at least domestic economic growth, how could this affect forecasts moving forward?
I think the housing market's fine. I think it's... a lot of our growth near term has been multifamily. I think when interest rates go up, people scramble to refinance and maybe buy a home. The average inventory is barely 4 months out there of new homes. The only problem is that every housing market has a line. If you're below the line, you're good. If you're above the line, you're soft. Like I know in Reno, Nevada, where I have a home, if it's above $2 million, if it's above $1 million, there's a 22-month inventory. But, you know, if you have a home for $250, it'll sell in a few days. So I think it's going to be okay. I think it's the housing market slowly but surely repairing itself. I think, you know, even though they're bashing home builders and they're at a new low for the year, I think it's a gross overreaction. The bottom line is housing starts are strong, building permits are strong, home builder confidence is good.
Anything else on your economic radar that you're watching closely that you think listeners would find interesting here?
Well, again, they're going to revise second quarter GDP up from 1.7 to about 2.5. Third quarter GDP is screaming based on the ISM service and manufacturing numbers. We're going to finish this year very, very strong. It's been a good year so far. And I think you're going to have a very strong year in rally. So that's the main message I'd have. The only problem is the market goes higher, it does get more narrow. And so I would advise people to get a portfolio checkup. If they like a free portfolio checkup, they just go to NavalierGrowth.com, click on Portfolio Grader. My entire database of 5,000 stocks is online, available to you free. You can key in your stocks, you can save them on the server, and it gets updated every week automatically. So I would recommend a portfolio checkup at this time.
Excellent. Louis Navalier, thank you so much for taking time from your busy schedule with us.
Take care.
You.